As I was thinking about the message tonight, it's been something that I have been thinking about for quite a while, looking at the passages we're going to look at tonight, but didn't really start focusing on it until Pastor asked me if I would like to minister tonight. And what is interesting to me about what I am going to talk about tonight, it really dovetails a lot with what Pastor taught Sunday morning about. I'm going to use the words excuses, about how there are really no excuses why we aren't farther along, manifesting more of, in the case that he talked about on Sunday morning, was the different functions of the Spirit and praying for people, all those sort of things. And so as I was thinking about that, when he was talking Sunday morning, and so I'm really going to give you the title of the message on the front end. I said to myself that our authority is not the issue. As he was talking about all of the things, the gifts of the Spirit, healing, praying, all of those sort of things, and not seeing the results, what went through my mind is our authority is not the issue. And that will be my focal point tonight. And so it's going to be redundant in some ways, because I really want you to grasp how important understanding that our having the authority to do what God has asked us to do is not the issue at all. Okay? Let's look at, and we're going to be in several places tonight, but I want to start off by looking at the word power. In the New Testament, the word power is defined primarily with two different words. The first one being dunamis, which means strength, inherent power. So let's take Pastor, for example. Pastor has dunamis. He has inherent power. I have inherent power. Kathy has inherent power. Okay? Our power, our ability, our strength are not the same, but we have inherent power, okay? And the thing that I wanted to point out is dunamis is the primary use of the word power, okay? Look in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read very briefly a passage we have read before, but I think it's very important that we understand something that we're going to read tonight. In Matthew chapter 6, and let's begin with verse 9. Jesus says in verse 9, after this manner, he's getting ready to teach the disciples how to pray. Okay? And he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I have to stop here for a moment. I saw on one of the YouTube shorts that this mother asked her daughter what was God's name. And she said God's name was Howard. She said, Howard? How did you get Howard? And she looked at him and says, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Howard be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, Howard be thy name. She could not have been no more 5 or 6 years old, but it was just priceless to me. So I promise not to say Howard be thy name, okay? After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I'm not going to spend any time on any of this because that's not my point tonight. My point is to get to one particular word. Verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? For thine, okay, thine is the kingdom, and thine, you could insert that word, the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen. Who has the power? God. God has the power. Okay? So, dunamis then, as it relates to us, belongs to our Father. Okay? Now, look with me in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And he, Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. You see what Jesus is saying? Which one is easier, to say that your sins be forgiven, or to say, Rise and walk? Verse 6, But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. One of the disservices, I believe, that the translators have made in this particular passage is translating the word exousia, which is what power is in verse 6 and what power is in verse 8. The word exousia means authority. Authority. And to give you a full definition of it, it means permission, right, liberty, power to do something. It's authority. So Jesus, what this passage is telling us is that Jesus, in verse 6, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority. Has authority. Ladies and gentlemen, why is that important? Because if it had been translated dunamis, then that means that Jesus would have had something that we do not have. We read in Matthew chapter 6 that all power belongs to God. All dunamis, spiritual dunamis, belongs to God. So Jesus saying, I have spiritual authority to tap into my Father's dunamis. You following me? Jesus says, I have authority, spiritual authority, to tap into my Father's dunamis. I thought that was significant because we can often read a passage and it communicates one thing when it really intends or should communicate a different truth. Okay? And this is the case here. Jesus, it wasn't his power, okay? It was his authority to access A-C-C-E-S-S, his Father's power, his power, Father's dunamis. So what is the source of spiritual authority for us? It's our born-again spirits. Okay? Our born-again spirits. John 3, verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, talking to Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Getting born again simply returns us to God's original intent for humanity, which we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, when we were born into this world, we were born with authority. Okay? We were born with authority. And the simplest way that I have come to understand authority is I can say yes to something or I can say no to something. That's the authority that I have. That's the authority that you have. You can say yes to something. You can say no to something. Okay? We have spiritual authority that we have been given by our Father. Are you following me? We can either use that authority and say yes to our Father, or we cannot use that authority by essentially saying no to our Father. Okay? But it's a little bit more complicated than that, because all of us want to give our Father access to our authority, do we not? If you remember what Pastor talked about on Sunday, when it talks about when we pray, that's praying, that's speaking our authority. Sometimes the person gets healed, or sometimes the prayer is answered, and sometimes it's not. It's not an authority issue. We have the authority. So what is at work underneath that is causing our authority not to manifest? And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Because when we are born into God's kingdom, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are born with spiritual authority, which gives us access to spiritual power. Okay? Now, let's look at a couple examples. We're going to first look at examples that involve two individuals who were not born again, who had authority that God needed access to. Luke chapter 1, very familiar passage. Luke chapter 1, let's read begin with verse 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power, the dunamis, of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." The word power is the word dunamis. Without Mary's permission, without Mary's authority, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit would not have come upon her. You see this? Yep. And she had a sin nature, ladies and gentlemen. And the Holy Spirit still had to have her permission. We have to give God permission to save us. If I'm wrong, tell me.
Oh, no.
If I'm wrong, tell me. I don't mind being wrong. We have to give God permission to save us. He's not just going to save us because we know he loves us. We know that he sent his son to die for us, but he's not going to make us be saved. We have to yield. We have to give him our authority for that to happen. So without her authority, the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit, would not have come unto her. She had to say yes to God's will. Are you following me? She had to say yes to God's will. And this is a very important point, ladies and gentlemen. God could not, the Holy Spirit, God could not make Mary say yes. Okay? He could not force her to say yes. Okay? He could have forced her. But that's not God's way. He wants us to respond to him out of love. So God would not force her. And this is what I want you to understand about authority that we have. Satan cannot force us. You see, you hear me?
Yeah.
God will not force us. Satan cannot force us. So it's very important that we understand authority, ladies and gentlemen. Because Satan has people that he's using their authority right now. It's unmistakable. I mean, it's all in your face. You can just see it. God needs us to be at a place in him where he can use our authority. And I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit and just follow Pastor's lead. It really has to do with our level of faith. It all boils down to that, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Look at Exodus chapter 14. Another person who is not born again. And if I was in the movie and seeing Moses, seeing him come back from his conquest, I would say, Moses! Moses! You remember it? Now, all of you know that what I just did, I don't charge for it, right? It's just, you got it because you showed up, okay? Look, and we're going to be in Exodus chapter 14. And this is, we're going to read the portion. We're going to jump into it. Pharaoh has left Egypt, and he's now chasing the children of Israel, okay? And the children of Israel are at the Red Sea. And God has already told them that he's going to have honor over Pharaoh, okay? Because the Pharaoh is trying to stop him from delivering the children of Israel. We're going to pick the record up in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Do you see the problem? They are saying this is Moses' doing. This is God's doing, ladies and gentlemen. If they had understood this was God's doing, this would not have been an issue. Okay. Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? And this next phrase, this next line, it just baffles me. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. O ye of little faith. For it had been better for us. That's almost like saying we have now been born again. We're now part of God's kingdom, okay? And because of this, we are starting to be attacked from every side by people who don't like God, who don't know God, and who don't believe in God, and who don't think that God is worth serving. And so we are so tired of having to deal with this. It had been better for us not to be saved. Really? really. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians, that we may die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your ground. If the passage has stopped right there, the Israelites would have been slaughtered. If the passage had stopped with what Moses just said, the Israelites would have been slaughtered. How do you know this, Brother Barry? Let's keep reading. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? I've already told you the plan, Moses. You know what to do. And he says, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. Lift up thou thy rod, stretch thine hand over the sea, and divide it. Do you see why, if it had stopped with verse 14, Israel would have died? Moses had to use his authority and be obedient to God and raise and put and stretch forth the rod in order for the sea to part. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, the sea would not have parted if Moses had not obeyed God and stretched forth the rod. Moses had a sin nature. Okay? Authority. Okay? In these two examples, we see how important our authority is to God and his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Unlike Mary and Moses, we are children of God. So my question is, are you giving your father access to your authority? Are you giving him permission to unleash his dunamis in you and through you? Okay? What I'm about to say is an uncomfortable truth. Because many in the church are not seeing the manifestations of their authority, many question its validity. And why is that? Well, let's look at a couple of passages to find the answer. Okay? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. If you've been, for those of you who've been coming to this church for a number of years, and for those of you who are watching via the internet, many of the passages that we're going to look at tonight are not new. They are just being looked at from the vantage point of authority. Okay? Matthew chapter 17, let's begin with verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, talking about Jesus and some of his disciples, talking about Jesus and a couple of his disciples, when they had come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Let's stop right there for a minute. Why did the man bring his son to the disciples? He must have known something about the disciples. He must have heard about what the disciples had done in order to bring his son to the disciples. Look at chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. And when he, Jesus, had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power. That word power is exousia. He gave them authority, spiritual authority, against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Okay, he gave them the authority to access his Father's power so that they could cast out unclean spirits and heal all manner of sickness and disease. Look at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach. What would they be preaching? What Jesus had taught them. Okay? Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. The man whose son was a lunatic must have heard about what the disciples had done. And so they came to them. Ladies and gentlemen, and we may read it later, we may not, but you remember in Acts chapter 6 when the religious leaders were upset with Peter and John, and then they were preaching the gospel, people were believing it, and they had to admit that, wait a minute, these are unlearned men. They're unlearned. But they have been with Jesus. Unlearned men who were doing what Jesus had done. Okay? Who were doing what Jesus had done. This father, okay, brought his son to the disciples because the disciples were doing what Jesus had done. You with me? What is it that we need to be doing, ladies and gentlemen? What Jesus has done. It's what Pastor talked about on Sunday when he talked about John chapter 14, verse 12. The works that I do, ye shall do also. And he broke that down. When we do that, we will have to bar the doors until we can see the person, each person, one by one. Otherwise, our houses are going to be flooded with people who have needs, because they know that when they come to Kathy, when they come to Lee, okay, when they come to Scotty, the need's going to get met. The need's going to get met, okay? Let's continue. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. Jesus is telling us up front what the issue is. He's already telling us what the issue is. Faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he, the devil, departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said, it's because you didn't have the authority. It's because I don't know why you would even think you could. No, he didn't say that. He said, it's because of your unbelief. Verse 17, O faithless generation. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. And verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. I like the way the Amplified renders this part, this first part of the verse. It says, because of the littleness of your faith. That is your lack of firmly relying trust. Firmly relying trust on what? On what Jesus has taught them, ladies and gentlemen. What did Jesus address with the disciples? Their unbelief. The disciples' authority was not the issue. Their unbelief was the issue. What hindered their authority from manifesting? unbelief, a lack of faith. Faith in Jesus, in who he is, and in what he taught is critical if we are to walk in our God-given authority. Unbelief causes us to question the validity of our spiritual authority. It causes us to question it because we don't see anything happening in our lives. Okay? How do we deal with unbelief? Jesus tells us in this passage, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. And we also note that Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. Okay? Turn to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, and let's go to verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, And the same day when the even was come, he, Jesus, said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto them, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Again, and I told you at the beginning of this message, I'm going to be very redundant. What did Jesus not address with the disciples? Their authority. He didn't address their authority. What he did address was their fear, which produced a lack of faith. So we're coming back to faith all over again. The disciples' authority was not the issue. Their fear was the issue. So how do we deal with fear? Mark chapter 5, verse 36 tells us, as soon as Jesus, and this is the passage about the woman who had the issue of blood, and Jesus was on the way to the religious ruler's home, Jairus. And so when the woman stopped him, he healed her, and then folks from Jairus' hometown, came and said, don't worry, the master, your daughter is dead. Verse 36, Jesus says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Only believe what? Only believe what I have said. Only believe what I have promised you. Only believe. That's how we get rid of fear, by shifting our minds to believing what the Bible says. Okay? Like unbelief, fear causes us to question the validity of our spiritual authority. I have a question for you. When we were told about the horrific weather that was on its way last week, don't show hands. How many of you spoke to it and said, not today? When you know God's will, you would know that the weather that was coming, that would have caused a lot of destruction, was not what God wanted to happen. You would have been in your right as a son and daughter of God and say, not today. You are not going to do this devastation in my community today. That's what God needed from us. And based on what happened, he got it from somebody because that destruction did not hit like it was been predicted to hit. So he got some authority from someone that he could access so his dunamis could flow and cause a different outcome. And I praise God. I praise God. Let's look at one more record, and this is going to be a little different. Luke chapter 9. So we have seen so far that two things hinder our authority. One is unbelief, lack of faith, and two is fear, which is produced by a lack of faith. In Luke chapter 9, we're going to look at a couple of biker boys. That's what I call James and John, biker boys. In verse 51, and it came to pass, when the time was come that Jesus should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, biker boys, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to just come down and just wipe them all out? Come on. Is that what you want from us? We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll just command the fire to come down and consume them. I want you to see Jesus' response. But Jesus turned and rebuked them. But Jesus, we got your back. We're doing this for you, Jesus. We got your back. They're mistreating you. Jesus, we're your boys. We're your boys. This is what we do. We protect you, Jesus. We're your boys. We protect you. And Jesus rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. Verse 56 is the lesson. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Okay? Again, Jesus did not raise the issue of authority with them. They must have believed they had the authority to do it. Otherwise, they would not have said it. But what did Jesus address, ladies and gentlemen? And it is, in my opinion, I know we talked about unbelief and faith. I know we talked about fear, which is a result of lack of faith. But for a large majority of the church today, what Jesus addressed was their lack of compassion for the lost. That is what he addressed. Their lack of compassion for the lost. Because he said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Ladies and gentlemen, if that is not your heart's desire, if that is not what wakes you up in the morning, gets you excited about doing things, living your life, knowing that you may have the opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, to help them understand how a life with him is so much better than a life without him, forget about walking in spiritual authority. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. And I'm coming back to pastor again because of the message on Sunday. And I'm ballparking it. He said that if you were speaking, he didn't use the word evil, but wrongly about the president and about all of those who are in authority, liberals. He says, stop it. He says, stop it. Because when you are doing that, you are destroying men's and women's lives. You are exhibiting no compassion whatsoever. No compassion whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way people are going to hear about Jesus, learn about Jesus, accept Jesus, to know who he truly is through us. And if we're walking around condemning them, how on earth are they going to see that? The church has to take off its Pharisee robes. It has to take them off. It's take time to take them off and burn them. And burn them. Our heart's desire, ladies and gentlemen, is not to destroy men's lives. And you and I both know that if we're not walking in compassion, we're not going to pray for them. We're not going to say, God, I don't care what it takes. You do what you need to do, but find a way to get into this person's life. Let them know who you are. Give them a chance to go to heaven. Give them a chance to know Jesus. Give them a chance to repent and make things right. If we are not walking in compassion, that prayer is not happening. That prayer is not happening. What we see in these passages is not a lack of authority, but the presence of things in our lives that hinder our ability to live out that authority. Unbelief, or as the Amplified Bible says, the littleness of our faith, hinders the manifestation of our authority. Fear also hinders the manifestation of our authority. And as we have also seen, the lack of compassion hinders the manifestation of authority in our lives. For us in this world, our inherent spiritual authority is never an issue. It is never in doubt. So here is a question we must answer for ourselves. And it's like the one that Pastor Jim raised on Sunday. Since God has empowered us to walk in authority, what's hindering us from exercising the authority he expects us to walk in? The one thing unbelievers need to see is the authority of God operating in our lives, because that is the only thing that separates us from them. Remember how the people responded to Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 when he healed the man sick of the palsy? Verse 9 says, But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such authority unto man. Ladies and gentlemen, when we give God access to our authority and he is able to move through our authority to bring his will to pass, he gets the glory. One more passage, Psalm 108. And we're going to read, begin with verse 1. It says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Amen. Please stand. One of the things that the enemy of the soul wants us to believe is that we do not have authority over him or his kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, God, the creator of everything, is your Father. You live in his house. You are a part of his family. He kicked Satan out of heaven. Satan wants you to believe that he has authority over you and that he can walk in and do things in your life, and you have no say-so. It's time for us, men and women, children of God, to say, That day is long past. So let's tonight, if it is not part of your life, let tonight be a change in how you think about your authority over Satan and his kingdom, and your authority to allow the power of God to live in you and flow through you. Let tonight be that night, ladies and gentlemen. The time is short. The time is short. Pastor talked about revival. If we are not at that place where God's power is in us and flowing through us, we're going to be on the sidelines during the revival, because the revival is happening. So it's whether or not you want to participate or not. Okay?